The title is That Every Man Be Armed, The Evolution of a Constitutional Right by Stephen P. Halbrook from the Independent Institute. Now, when you get this book and read it, when you come to the part that discusses the heroics and the wonderful contributions to humankind of Cicero, make sure that you have read Julius Caesar first so that you will know that this is not really true. That it is people who superficially read the history of the Roman Empire that really believe that Cicero is some kind of a hero protecting the rights of the people, because they're just reading Cicero's own bullshit is what they're doing, and they're swallowing it. Just as if you were to really believe William Clinton's speeches or Hillary Clinton's book, or for that matter, any of these politicians' lies, speeches, or books. They are a pack of unmitigated, barefaced liars. Pompous asses, if you want to know the truth. And you must be careful about believing what you read that they wrote. However, if you read the histories that others wrote during the time about these people, you will more readily discover the truth. I'm sure that sometime in 1,000 years, someone will dig up the writings and speeches of William Clinton and think that he was a great man who was standing up in defense of liberty and freedom for all people, and that because he was a sportsman, he promoted and was for the right to keep and bear arms, and blah, 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 blah. The rest of this book is accurate, and I highly recommend it to all of you. You need to read it. It goes through the history of the books and writings that set the stage for liberty and freedom and for the right of the people to keep and bear arms. It covers the common law of England. I'm not selling this book, and I'm not going to give you an address where to write from it. I'm just going to tell you to go find it, because I pulled this out of my library for tonight's discourse and conversation. It goes into the American Revolution in the second article in amendment and continues into antebellum interpretations, right up to the freedmen firearms and the 14th Amendment that resulted from the Great Civil War that was fought for freedom. And now when I say fought for freedom, ladies and gentlemen, don't misunderstand me. The South was fighting for state rights, and in their fight, they were certainly fighting for freedom. The North was fighting for the Union to stay together, and for that concept of freedom, that in the power of a complete nation, that freedom would prevail. And unfortunately, we all lost a little something. The black race, the slaves, won a great victory. And not intentionally, I can assure you, Abraham Lincoln, in his own writings and his own speeches, make it clear that the war was not fought to free the slaves, nor was his Emancipation Proclamation a product of any political pressure. It was merely an attempt to create a situation where the blacks would rise up against their southern masters and cripple the economy of the South, and thus hasten the winning of the war by the North. It is a wonderful thing that it happened, in my estimation, and many others, as all men must be free. Goes to state and federal judicial decisions, right up through Supreme Court decisions, as close to the present day as it could possibly get. It was printed in 1994. It is a good book. Will give you a better understanding of the right to keep and bear arms and the philosophical and legal foundations upon which it is based. It makes it clear, ladies and gentlemen, the court rulings and the Supreme Court rulings make it clear that the right to keep and bear arms is inviolable. How are they getting away with it? Well, it's very simple, folks. They just do it. No one challenges them. No one knows or understands the law except a few of us. And when we challenge them, we win personal, small victories, not large national victories. If all the people would study the law and study the truth and do their own investigations like they should, and get out of the get out of the elitist inspired attitude that they must occupy all of their time to live in some great wealthy station beyond their capabilities of enjoying it because of the amount of slavery and judgery that they have to go through to maintain that status of standard of living, they might live a much more enjoyable life. Simpler life, to be sure, but much more enjoyable, also, to be sure. If the population were to awaken, were to learn the law, to draw the line in the sand, to say no, to refuse to give up their arms, to take up the debate wherever the debate is formed, to form militias, to drill in public and to meet in public, to make sure of the legal status of their militia, to understand the purpose of the militia, to understand that militias do not break laws, nor do you allow members of the militia to exist who break the law. All of these things must be done. If they are not done, then there will come a day where Americans will surrender their arms. And the day that they surrender their arms, except for the few of us who have drawn the line, who have elected to die rather than be slaves in some mistaken, vague, foggy notion of some utopian, totalitarian, socialist order that's going to be the best for all humankind that nobody can even describe to any of us. Except for us. Most will march off into that slavery. And on the day they surrender their arms, Americans will become slaves and America will cease to exist. It is just that simple, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a subject of debate. It's an absolute fact. History repeats itself over and over and over again. Nothing. There is nothing new under the sun today at all. Period. All things have been before and all things will come around again. It is the same old march that is always performed, and it will be the same old march 1,000 years from now that is performing today. There are cycles and stages and seasons that just repeat. Why do you enjoy the springtime when it comes? Because you have forgotten how wonderful it is through the winter and the fall, and it's as if it were new again and you had never seen it before in your life. It is marvelous. The rains and the winds and the sunshine and the new life and the flowers and the greenness and the leaves of the trees. The warmth. And then the fall comes with its magic. And it is magic, the crisp snap in the air. That's invigorating, as a matter of fact. And the trees, the leaves begin to turn into the most beautiful symphony of colors that you can imagine. And then slowly drop from their branches. And before you know it, there's a barren, bleak landscape. Overcast, bitter cold and snows. And of course, this does not take place everywhere in the world, but I can tell you from my own experience, ladies and gentlemen, for I lived in Hawaii for 8 years, and there are no seasons in Hawaii, none whatsoever. It's just one long, beautiful, great, wonderful, fantastic, incredible summer. And after a while, it is the most absolutely boring experience that you can imagine. After 8 years, I had to flee the islands. I could not stand it any longer. If I smelled another flower, if I saw another lush green hillside covered with the most beautiful rainbow, I was just going to vomit. You see, we need that change, or at least I do. I believe that most people need that kind of change. Without it, our lives become, well, the same. There were other things about the islands that contributed to that feeling, ladies and gentlemen. You see, they're very small. You may think they're big when you're there, but after you've driven around the island 500 times and you've seen everything absolutely that there is to see, you begin to feel as if you're in a tiny closet and you just can't get out. I love to go back. It's a wonderful place for a vacation. It's a wonderful place if you were rich enough to be able to go there for 3 or 4 months out of the year and then go somewhere else for a while. Just traveling seems to take the place of the seasons and gives you that needed variety in your life. But you see, it's not just seasons of weather that exist in men's lives. It is seasons and cycles of politics and freedom and oligarchy and tyranny and revolution, and then it starts all over again. It has been that battle since the beginning of time, what I call the battle of good versus evil. Those who would enslave and those who will not be enslaved. And I am one of the latter. The right to keep and bear arms is a right that should be engraved upon the hearts and minds of all Americans. The second article in the amendment is clear, ladies and gentlemen. A militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The first clause is descriptive. A militia being necessary to the security of a free state is making a statement that a state cannot be free. A state, in the terms of our founding fathers, was the people. Not a government, but the people. In order for the people to be free, they must have a militia. Who was the militia? All of the people, all of the time, who provided their own arms, their own kit, their own gear, their own sustenance, and were ready to defend the freedom of all at a moment's notice. Who could call up the militia? Any responsible citizen could call up the militia, as did Paul Revere during his famous ride. The second clause is the active clause and is the entire reason for the entire phrase, for the entire sentence, for the entire second article in amendment. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What is so difficult to understand about that? What kind of arms? Any kind of arms that are necessary to maintain the freedom and security of the people against any insurrection, against any invasion, and against anyone who would subvert or destroy the laws of the Union or of the state. Anyone who would create an oppressive, tyrannical government over the people. Anyone who would attempt to disarm the people. The Constitution for the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, recognizes the militia as a pre-existing body before the Constitution was written or adopted. You see, the Constitution does not provide for the Congress to form a militia or to create a militia. It provides for the Congress to call forth the militia, and by that statement recognizes the supremacy of the militia over the Constitution as a pre-existing force of the people and of the several colonies to protect their freedom against anyone who would take it away. The Declaration of Independence set the stage by saying any government that would become despotic or become a tyrant should be overthrown by the people, disbanded by the people, negated by the people. It all means the same thing. And that they should form a government more to their liking, one which would serve their interests and preserve their freedoms. Every American should read the Declaration of Independence and understand every word of it. If possible, you should memorize it. The same for the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. In fact, you must also have a very, very good understanding of the Articles of Confederation, which, by the way, were never negated, were never repealed, and are still a great part of the first documents in law of this great nation. The militia has been recognized since the beginning, the foundation of the very first body politics in this country by those who came to escape the tyranny of the old world as the means of defense against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that is still recognized today as the oath of all of those who are inducted into the armed forces, enlisted as well as officer. Requires that their allegiance be placed in defense of the Constitution for the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that they will obey all lawful orders of the officers placed above them. The Uniform Code of Military Justice also stresses that no one should ever follow unlawful or unconstitutional orders. The precedent was for this, ladies and gentlemen, was set clearly at Nuremberg during the Nuremberg trials, where it was stated that following orders was not an excuse and that the proper thing to do would have been to disobey those orders if they were unlawful or if they were wrong, even if it meant the death of the soldier who disobeyed. Nothing has changed. Nothing is going to change. Nothing will change. We may be few, but we are an army. We are an army that understands our history. We understand freedom. We understand the risks and responsibilities entailed in living in a state of freedom. And we are fully and completely willing to pay whatever price is necessary in order to maintain freedom with responsibility in a constitutional republican government, recognizing the rights of each individual that our Creator endowed and are protected by the document known as the Constitution for the United States of America and the first 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights. I find it incredible that many Americans, many, many more than you would even dare to believe, have never even read the Constitution for the United States of America or the Bill of Rights in their entire life and know nothing about it. They know literally nothing about the principles and ideals upon which this nation was founded that gave this nation and its people the greatness and the prosperity, the standard of living and the opportunity that we have enjoyed for over 200 years. Now, in their ignorance and their apathy, and yes, even their stupidity, they are taking steps which they believe to be right based upon the erroneous lessons that they have been taught by their socialist masters to destroy all of it. and create another nation in the image of what they believe has fallen the Soviet Union. If you read Mikhail Gorbachev's book, Perestroika, if you read his speeches, if you read the writings of other prominent socialist politicians and great men, great to communism and socialism, you will find that the fall of the Soviet Union was a deception, meant to lull the West to sleep, so that there could be, ladies and gentlemen, a synthesis of the two, capitalism and communism, into a world body politic, a totalitarian socialist new world order, which they call the Golden Dawn, or the New Dawn, or the Golden Age returning, or the New World Order, or the New Covenant. They have many words for it, but it is all the same. And they are ready and willing to destroy anyone who opposes their new order. You will not be allowed to move into the future, into the new millennium, if you are considered to be heretical. If you will not give up the past, if you are a Klingon, the Federation will crush you if you are a Klingon, and you will be relegated to a small spot in the universe. And a perpetual war will exist against you. Unless, of course, you renounce your fellows and your beliefs and your principles and your ideas and your religion and your creator endowed rights and join Captain James T. Kirk on the bridge of the starship Enterprise and voyage where no man has dared to voyage before. James T. Kirk, spelled backwards, the initials is Knights of the Temple of Jerusalem, the Knights Templar, from which all of this sprang again when they brought the old ancient mystery religion of Babylon back from the Crusades and established it in Europe. And they weren't the only ones. But you see, they had a passion, a vengeance against the existing religious orders, the existing nation states, and the people who hunted them and condemned them. Their goal is to establish their religion, and only their religion, as the religion of the world, to destroy all existing governments save theirs, their hidden secret government, which they will establish as a world totalitarian socialist, what they call benevolent despotism, where they will present a messiah to the world behind whom rules, truthfully, a council of what they call wise men. And they fully intend to shackle the mob. That's you. If I were you, I would study up on this. If I were you, I would take advantage of our sale and get your hands on our Mystery Babylon series. Listen to every word of it, every tape, and wake up to the reality of the world. You see, your e-ticket has expired, and you're still wandering around in Disneyland. The park is closed. The lights are out. The rides are not moving. Yet in your deranged state of mind, you believe that they are, and you believe that it's the real world, and that's the way it really is. But if you dare to venture over to the fence and peek up over the top, you'll see that there really are hookers on Anaheim Boulevard, and that there are traffic accidents and crime and many other things going on all around you. Just over the edge of the fence that represents your ignorance. Don't go away, I'll be right back, and then we'll take your calls. The number is 520-333-4578. By Swiss America Trading. Swiss America Trading cares about the message of this broadcast. They care sincerely about the success of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, the voice of freedom, if you will, the last voice of freedom left in the world, the only source of documented, sourced, real, truthful information. You don't ever have to agree with any of the opinions of anyone that you hear on this network. You don't have to believe or not required to believe anything that we present to you. You are required to think. And you are required to investigate and check everything. We hope that you will listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing, unless you can prove it in your own research. Seek ye the truth. And the truth will make you free. And that's the only way that freedom can be gained. After it is gained, it must be held. It requires eternal vigilance. It requires that you be armed. It requires that you be willing to die for what you believe in, so that you can hand your children and your grandchildren the freedom that you so rightfully and so wonderfully enjoyed. Swiss America Trading wants all of these things to happen for you. And that's why they solidly back the message of the hour of the time and the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. We hope that if you are going to deal in precious metals of any kind, that you not be deceived, but that you deal with the people who bring you these broadcasts, and that's Swiss America Trading. That you deal with the people who guarantee what they do, that is Swiss America Trading. That you deal with people who give you a buyback policy and nobody else does it, that is Swiss America Trading. That you deal with the people that tell you the truth. That in order for your purchases to be non-confiscatable and non-reportable, you must pay at least a 15% premium above the price of the metal in the coin. And that is the truth. Call them. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Ton. Thank them for backing the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Ask for the latest current newsletter. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Ton, and you'll get red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. If you don't, you call me, and I'll make sure that you do, and you call back after I get through with whoever it is that didn't treat you right. 1-800-289. Well, let's just do it the easy way. 1-800-BUY-CORN. 1-800-289-2646 or 1-800-BUY-CORN. Call now. You know how we all are. We tend to put things off. 1-800-289-2646. Ask for Frank. If he's not in, talk to anybody else there. And get your hands, ladies and gentlemen, on some real money. It's important that you do that. (520) 333-4578 is the number. Go right to the phones after this brief pause. Take up arms in defense of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and freedom. I want to know, if they came to disarm you, would you give up your weapons? I want to know where you would draw the line in the sand. You give up your weapon if they came to your door and said that they had passed a law that all Americans have to give up all weapons? Would you do it? Where would you draw the line in the sand? Would you fight for freedom? Would you fight for your creator-endowed rights? Would you fight for the Constitution, for the United States of America, and for the Bill of Rights? Would you fight against tyranny? Or would you do what they say and hope that someone else would fight for you? (800-289-2646) is the number you should call for Swiss America Trading. To get on the air tonight, it's 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Bill, you want to know if anybody out here will fight?
I want to know if you will fight.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me your name or where you're calling from. I just want to know, would you fight? If they came to your door and said that they had passed a law in the middle of the night and they'd come for your weapons, what would you do?
Well, I certainly wouldn't give them my weapons, and I would fight. And I probably spent the last 4 or 5 years of my life hoping that that day will never come, but preparing for it.
Me too. It's been the whole thrust of this broadcast since its beginning. In fact, everything I've done since I've begun this quest, if you will, the quest to wake up the American people and stop the bloodshed that I know is coming if they persist in their insanity, to put us back in serfdom, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, I would talk to people about what was going on, and you get the strangest look. And it's a little different nowadays. There really seems to be a groundswell around here of people shaking their heads and just going, what's going on?
Strange things are happening, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've noticed it also. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine who is in law enforcement, has been for many, many years. And there was a time when he was the only one who dared speak up and was trying to educate the other people in the and I'm not going to give him away in the group that he works with. He tried to educate them and they ridiculed him. He was the oddball. He was an outcast. He wasn't invited to dinner or to parties or anything. They gave him the worst duty, the worst cars to drive, everything. Now it's different. They're all coming to him saying, gosh, I remember you told me 2-3 years ago this was going to happen, and it's happened. You know, what can I do? Where can I go to learn more? And I find that thrilling.
Yeah, it does make you feel good to know that people care enough that they'll do something about it themselves, that they're willing at least to try and seek out some knowledge.
Uh-huh.
So, things around here are pretty, you know.
Do you have a group of like-minded people in your area?
Yeah, we do. There's one official group out in the public, and then there's a lot of cells.
Good.
And a lot of people that understand exactly what's going on, but want to remain in the shadows until it happens.
That's fine, but everyone has to understand that to maintain legality, lawfulness, and legitimacy, there must be a public demonstration of the people's right to keep and bear arms in the form of a militia.
Oh, absolutely. And I took care of all that. I ran the newspaper ads stating that there would be the primary drill for the militia, and it was in the paper and all done up publicly, and we went ahead and read through the Code of Iowa and the Constitution of Iowa, and we gave off all the codes and sections and everything there had to do with the militia.
Wonderful. How did it go?
It went very well.
Great.
Very well.
That's wonderful. Well, I applaud you. Anything else?
No, I just want to let you know that you're, you know, you may be up there on the mountain by yourself, but you're not quite alone.
Well, I'm not by myself either, if you know what that is.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I understand my rights, and I understand how to protect them, and I am completely and totally committed and willing to die for my principles and ideals, if it is necessary that I do so, of course not wanting to ever do so, but I find it difficult to understand a nation that would send its children off to die in some godforsaken part of the world for something that has nothing to do with the Constitution or freedom or anything for the American people, save the pocketbooks of some very wealthy individuals, and then be afraid to stand up or to ask their sons and daughters to stand up in defense of those freedoms and those principles and ideals right here in the country where they need to be doing it. That is a sore spot with me, and I am deeply bothered by that.
Well, it just goes to show you how well public education has made ignorant.
Really?
Bound, yeah. They've really, really turned everybody into an idiot.
Yeah. Let's pump them cruise missiles into old Saddam. Let's get them suckers, boy. What? Militia? To protect our rights? Well, you must be some terrorist.
Isn't it hypocritical?
It is stupid.
Yeah.
It shows a complete lack of brains. Okay, I want to thank you for calling.
Well, thanks a lot.
520-333-4578 is the number. We have about 16 minutes before the top of the hour, and it's time to hear from you, whoever you may be. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. This is Al from Westwood.
Hi, Al. How are you?
Pretty good. You asked if we would give up our guns if they came to the house.
Yes.
And I would give up my guns, the ones they know about, so I could, because when they come to the house, there's going to be a lot more of them than me. And I don't want to die doing that. I'd rather give up the ones they know and the ones they don't know about, then I can fight another day.
Okay, I understand that philosophy perfectly. As long as you intend to fight another day, then I have no qualms with it. If you, however, were going to give up your guns and submit to the tyranny, then I would certainly take issue with that.
Yeah, no way. One question I have. When we mail you a letter stating that we have a satellite and we're willing to transmit, roughly how long would it take for the information to get back to us?
We're putting it together right now. We have, I'm telling you, the response to this has just been incredible. We have so many orders for the satellite system. That it's taking us a little while to get all the orders together, and we're going to be sending them off in the next couple of days. And I am preparing the mailing for the information for all of the... I can't believe how many people have written for information on the satellite system and the low-power FM transmitters to become an affiliate of this network. It is overwhelming. The response has just been incredible, and it gives me great hope. And a tremendous feeling of deep gratitude and indebtedness to all of these people who are going to really make this work. And it is clear to me after the last few days of, you see, the last few days I've done nothing from the time I got up in the morning until late afternoon, nothing but process mail. And so I haven't been able to do anything else, literally. And the response is just unbelievable. It's overwhelming. This network is not only going to work, but it's going to make a tremendous impact. And I hope that those of you who are listening who have not yet decided to become a part of it will reconsider your stance, because what we need is thousands of people across this country blanketing the country with the truth. Because, you know, we have an awful lot of listeners who started out liberal Marxists who really bought into it because that's all they had ever been taught. And after listening to the Hour of the Time, because it was brought to their attention by somebody who said, listen to these crazy right-wing wackos, you know, you get a big kick out of this, they went and checked out what we talked about, and they have now become solid allies because they realize that this is not about right-wing versus left-wing. This is about freedom. This is about being Americans. This is about freedom for all people, male, female, black, white, Native American, Oriental, no matter what your religion is, we don't care. We want everyone to be able to live in freedom with responsibility. And they're just now beginning to understand that they've been on the wrong road, literally walking themselves into slavery. And now they're setting themselves free, and I love it. I just love it. It just tickles me to death. And one of the greatest boosts we ever got was when the White House issued that memo naming me as the most dangerous radio host in America, and naming the frequency and all of that stuff that Rush Limbaugh read on the air, and it brought us probably one of the greatest radio audiences in the history of the world.
Well, I stopped listening to Rush because I'm a wacko and a kook compared to him. I'm a new listener to you, probably just a couple of weeks. I just found you. One other question, kind of personal. How tall are you and how much do you weigh? When I hear you talking about that 375 H&H, I would think that you'd have to be pretty good size to handle that.
Well, I used to be 6'3" tall, but I guess as you get older you lose some height, because now I'm 6'2", and I don't know where that other inch went because I don't feel compressed.
That way when we get older.
Yeah, and I weigh around 250 pounds. I'm a big man.
Yeah, see, I'm 5'8".
Not fat, big.
160, and I'm afraid that thing would probably put me in the ground. But I've got a knot 6 I'm working on.
Well, whatever you're comfortable with that will get you out as far as you could possibly shoot and be accurate is what you need.
Right.
And let's quit playing around with this hunting baloney.
Oh, yeah.
The truth is when they decide to destroy the Constitution and it then becomes our duty to restore the Republic, they are going to send against us troops that are trained to be effective within 200 yards. If we can keep them from getting within 200 yards... we can win this battle.
Good. Well, hopefully we'll win it. one way or another.
I have to believe that we will. I don't think that there's an army on the face of this earth that can occupy and conquer the American people if they maintain their spiritual faith and refuse to give up their weapons. It cannot be done.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that bothers me is I wouldn't say the good cops, but the older cops are going to be retiring. Younger cops are coming in, they're brainwashing them. Same with the military.
Well, that's okay.
No.
They're not too smart, are they?
No, that's true.
And in a good fight, they wouldn't last very long.
And Spec New, that's something else. How you can stand up with the UCMJ and be court-martialed. And fortunately, he hasn't gone to jail, but I'm afraid maybe they didn't do that for and maybe really should cause a lot of problems.
Well, they couldn't do it. It would have been political suicide, number one. And number two, they have no basis to justify it because he was right. And where they can get by with doing what they did, they couldn't get by with anything more serious than that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask about the mailing is because our mail goes through Reno, Nevada, and we seem to lose a lot of mail.
Really? Have you filed complaints with the Post Office Department?
It
is a serious felony to interfere with the mail.
Yeah, but...
if you file a complaint, they must investigate it. If they catch the culprit, they must prosecute them.
Yeah.
Interfering with the mail is a serious felony, and they can't get around prosecuting that.
Yeah, that's true, if they can catch the person.
Yeah. And if you insist and you raise enough hell, they will have to do something. They'll be forced to do something. And what will happen is they will leave your mail alone.
Okay. One other question. Have you heard of DV Kidd?
Yes.
Okay. I get her literature.
Yes, I know DV. She was running for office in California. She was responsible for Freedom Call 90. We all went to Washington, D.C., and old Tom Valentine and his gang of Illuminati adepts tried to take away the protest against the Federal Reserve and turn it into an anti-NAFTA rally.
Oh. Well, she sure got a lot on the ball.
Yeah.
She's a very intelligent lady. I like talking to her.
She is.
So anyway, I'll let somebody else in.
Okay.
Nice talking to you, and I'll look forward to that stuff in the mail.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye now.
520-333-4578 is the number. Are you a real American? Do you really care about your family, about your neighbors, about other real Americans? Or are you stuck in all this other baloney that's going on? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, Mr. Cooper, this is Wayne.
Hello, Wayne.
Yes, I would give up my arms. They come around to see me the second day after hell freezes over. That's the day they can get my arms. I'm still here.
Okay. Good for you.
Hang in there. Keep up the good work.
I shall. Do you have a group of like-minded people around you?
Yes, indeed.
Good. You get with those people and take care of each other.
We do that.
And don't do anything stupid like some of these other groups have done. It's embarrassing for all of us.
Sure is. Gives us a bad name and gives the other side lots of ammunition.
That's right. And we don't need that.
Not at all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Would you give up your arms? Would you fight in defense of freedom, of the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights? Are you in a militia? Do you care? Would you march into the New World Order with putting the shackles upon your own feet? We need to know these things. I think everybody out there wants to know. I want to know. We all need to know. The New World Order crowd needs to know. And you need to reinforce what you have committed yourself to. You see, this is just as much a reinforcement of commitment as anything else. For to call this broadcast and make those kinds of statements that these callers have made is a commitment that you're going to find difficult to back down from once you've made it. So there's always a method to my madness, ladies and gentlemen. See, I'll get you to commit to freedom any way I can, over and over and over again if I can, always if I can, forever if I can. You see, it's one thing to... mention in passing to your buddies that they're not going to get my gun, and to make a solid commitment to yourself, to this listening audience, to me, to the nation. to those who would destroy liberty and freedom, who want to bring about their new world order on the ashes of this great nation that has given us so much. You know, it just amazes me that the people who scream the most if their rights are violated are the very ones who want to destroy this country for their new socialist order. That amazes me. You know, I sit and ponder that for hours sometimes and wonder, how can these people do that? If they really had what it was that they're trying to bring about, they would be the ones who would hate it the most. And maybe that's why socialists always, when they come to power, execute those who brought them to power. Do you realize that every time socialism has come to power in the history of the world, they have immediately turned upon those who supported them and brought them to power and executed them and purged them and killed them? In particular, the intelligentsia, the university professors, the journalists, doctors, lawyers, all of the people who made it happen. If you don't believe that, study the history of socialism and communism, which is just another expression of socialism. You see, Lenin, who was the founder of the Soviet Union, ladies and gentlemen, said democracy is indispensable to socialism, from which communism takes hold. Socialism breeds Nazis, breeds despotism, breeds dictatorship, breeds enslavement, breeds the destruction of the human soul, destroys self-worth, destroys opportunity, destroys everything. Creates an artificial entity that becomes more important than those who created it. Something that does not even exist except on paper becomes all that there is for those who do exist to live for. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yes.
This is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
The line's already drawn in the sand, has been drawn for some time.
Wonderful.
I took a stand about 20 years ago against these people. By today's standards, it was probably the wrong stand. However, it was a stand. Hopefully it woke some of the present-day patriots up. I've been attacked. These people have taken everything that my family and I have. I used to be a professional. I won't go into what area.
Uh-huh.
But they probably deprived us of over the last several years of over $1 million in property.
My gosh.
Like I say, the line is drawn. If the feds show up again, it's at their peril.
Well, that's the way it is at my house. If they ever come to my home to take any member of my family or me or any of my property or the property that belongs to my family or our entities, our trusts, there's going to be the biggest gun battle that you've ever imagined in your life. We will not submit to the tyranny at all.
I understand. And bear in mind, they've been here before. If they come again, it's at their peril, unless they catch me off guard.
Well, you're in the right, you know, whether or not the press acknowledges it or anyone else acknowledges it, we are in the right. They do not have jurisdiction or venue. They're operating outside the law. They are, in fact, outlaws operating under the color of law. They have subverted the Constitution and the Bill of Rights years ago and are in the process of committing insurrection and treason. Whatever we do to resist them is 100% justified constitutionally and within the law.
As Thomas Jefferson put it, Bill, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
That is
fight, sir, God bless you.
Thank you. And that's a perfect note to end the evening. Good night, folks. And God bless each and every single one of you.
A week before the Battle of Bull Run, Sullivan Ballou, a major in the 2nd Rhode Island Volunteers, wrote home to his wife in Smithfield. July the 14th, 1861, Washington, D.C. Dear Sarah, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow, and lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I'm no more. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how American civilization now leans upon the triumph of the government, and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the Revolution. And I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet my love of country comes over me like a strong wind and bears me irresistibly with all those chains to the battlefield. The memory of all the blissful moments I've enjoyed with you come crowding over me, and I feel most deeply grateful to God and you that I've enjoyed them for so long. And how hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes and hopes in future years. When, God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and see our boys grown up to honorable manhood around us. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I loved you, nor that when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name. Forgive my many faults and the many pains I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have sometimes been. But, oh, Sarah, dead can come back to this earth and live unseen around those they love, I shall always be with you in the brightest day and the darkest night. Always. Always. And when the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath, or the cool air, your throbbing temple, it shall be my spirit passing by. Do not mourn me dead. Think I am gone, and wait for me, or we shall meet again. Sullivan Ballou was killed a week later at the First Battle of Bull Run.
This is the voice of freedom.
Thank you.
have been listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. We now end our broadcasting day.